Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 8.
Crowns of Jesus. Now, to wear a crown, you had to conquer something. And we talked the first week about how Jesus wore the crown of thorns. Thorns came as a result of sin. And so Jesus, when he wore the crown of thorns upon his head, he was demonstrating that he is the victor over sin. And Jesus also conquered death. He wears the crown of victory. And our great hope is because he lives, we will also live. He is just the first fruits of the resurrection. More fruit to follow. Those of us who put our faith and trust in him, as Jesus said to John, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
And now, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. I want you to notice that he puts all things in subjection under his feet. Tonight I want to talk to you about the crown of dominion. The crown of dominion. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word tonight. May we have greater faith tonight as we see you wearing the crown of dominion. And also, Lord, as we realize that someday all things will be under your feet and you will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look forward with anticipation to that time. But even now we realize that you have all things under control. And we thank you for that. We put our trust in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus wore the crown of thorns. He wore the crown of victory. Where's that crown of victory today? And also the crown of dominion. Let me explain what I mean by that. I mean, first of all, that he is Lord. That means that he is the one with authority over everyone and over all. He is superior. The Bible tells us that someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. Every knee will bow. Those who resist him today will someday still bow the knee. Everyone will recognize that he is Lord. And number two, he is sovereign. Not only is he Lord, but he is sovereign. Sovereign means that he is the supreme ruler of all. He is the supreme ruler of all. What are some of those things that he is sovereign over? Well, he is sovereign over life. All of life belongs to God. I wonder tonight what God could get if he charged for air. If he could say, well, if you want air to breathe, you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to buy the air that you breathe. I wonder what God could get for the price of air. I wonder what God would charge for taxes in order to live in his world. God wanted to, and God said, if you want to live in my world, you're going to have to pay the tax. I wonder what kind of taxes God could receive if he charged us taxes to live in his world. It's his world, isn't it? This is my Father's world. God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over the air that we breathe. He's sovereign over this world in which we live. He is sovereign over all things. We are simply stewards of what he has allowed us to have and take care of for him. All of life belongs to him. All of life belongs to God. I think Joseph is a great picture of that. The Bible tells us that he was steward over all of Pharaoh's belongings, over Pharaoh's kingdom. Joseph didn't own anything, but he was steward over all of it. He took care of it. And that's what God has in store for us. We don't own
these things, but we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And that's a great way to live, and it's a freeing way to live. Because you know the old saying that what you own soon owns you? It's so much better to let the Lord own it and be stewards of it. Take care of it for Him. From time to time we talk about Otto Koning and his pineapple garden and how he was in there in New Guinea and he owned this pineapple garden. And he would get so angry at the natives for stealing his pineapples. And people said to him, why didn't you grab these pineapples before the thieves would come in and steal them? He said, because they would steal them before they ripened. They never even knew that bananas turned yellow. They would steal them while they were green. He lived amongst a people that were chronic thieves. They couldn't help themselves. They stole everything. And he would get so angry with them and so mad with them, and he would fight over the pineapples in his garden. Until one day he learned this principle of ownership, and he gave his pineapple garden to God. And he said, God, I give you the pineapple garden, and I won't get mad anymore when people steal your pineapples. And he didn't. He didn't get mad anymore. And one day the people there, they came and they asked him why he didn't get angry with them anymore. Why don't you get mad for stealing when we steal your pineapples? He says, because I gave my garden away. And that night they were very restless because they were thinking, how can we steal when we don't know who owns them? I mean, the biggest headhunter in the area might own the pineapples, and we don't dare to steal from him. And so they couldn't take the pineapples. And one time, he tells the story. You got to hear Tim tell it. He tells it so much better than I do. But they all had gathered around his hut there, and they had their spears and their arrows. And they said, we want to know who you gave the garden to. Who owns the pineapple garden? And he simply said, God. God owns it. And they said, you don't get angry anymore when we steal your pineapples. He said, I don't need to get angry anymore. I gave my pineapple garden to God. And he'll take care of his property. And how devastating it must have been for him as they looked at him and they said, Tuan, which means foreigner, you've become a Christian, haven't you? He says, what do you mean I've become a Christian? I think he was there for 7 years. I've served you for 7 years. And now you think I've become a Christian. And they said, whenever you taught about Christians and how Christians should act and what a Christian should be like, we always thought we'd hoped we'd meet one someday. And Tuan, you've become a Christian. But he said he never realized the full impact of being able to transfer ownership of something to God. And we need to realize that God is sovereign. He is ruler over all. And He has simply given us the great opportunity to be stewards of these things for Him. He is the supreme ruler over life. He is sovereign over life. He is also the supreme ruler over death. Revelation 1:18 says, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. We talked about this verse a lot last time we looked at the crown of victory. But Jesus was dead. There was no doubt that he was dead. But he didn't stay dead. He says, behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Then he is the supreme ruler over the affairs of this world. Nothing in this world happens unless he allows it. I'd like you to look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. David answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Do you ever wonder who changes the seasons? From fall to winter, from winter to spring, from spring to summer, from summer to fall. who changes the seasons? Well, we're talking about the one who wears the crown of dominion. He is the supreme ruler over the affairs of this world. The verse says that he sets up kings, he removes kings, he moves people around, he puts them in places where he wants them to be. He sets people up in promotions. You know why George Bush is our president tonight? Because God put him there. He also allowed Bill Clinton to be in office. The last presidency, I'm afraid, destroyed the morals of our country. The things that happened in the White House and the Oval Office, you know, were things I didn't even want my children to know about. You know, when I went to school, we got in trouble for talking too much. And we had these, I don't know if I've told you this, we had these all-day lectures when I went to a Christian school. If we did something, if somebody did something wrong, principal would just take us all into the chapel and we'd have this big lecture on what we did wrong or what was done wrong. And one time I remember having this lecture on throwing snowballs, the dangers of throwing snowballs. And it was a half a day lecture. We sat there literally from like 8:30 in the morning until noon, till lunchtime. And immediately after our little lecture, on our way to class, we had to go outside. I picked up an eraser and I took the eraser outside with me, and I threw this eraser at somebody, and I got called in the office, and he was just chewing me out. And then I realized he thought I threw a snowball, and I said, no, I didn't throw a snowball. I know better than that. I just heard a lecture on throwing snowballs. I threw an eraser. And he said, oh, okay, and he let me go there. And I was not in trouble after all. What's my point to that story? Oh, what are we getting in trouble for? Too much talking, throwing erasers. But, you know, we didn't have drug-sniffing dogs, and we didn't have metal detectors on the doors. Things have changed. Things have changed. And, you know, you see some bright things happening in our world today, but for the most part, I think our world is getting more evil and more wicked. And I think things are being set up for the return of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not making things happen always. He's allowing things to happen. He wears the crown of dominion. He is sovereign over the affairs of this world. And when things do get bad, just remember that the Lord has everything under control and he is allowing things for a reason. Someday he's going to come back and make sure that everything is right. Then he's sovereign over nature. Jesus controls nature. In Mark chapter 4, there was this great storm that arose. Jesus was in the back of the ship asleep. His disciples came. They woke him up. They said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus rose from the back of the ship where he had been asleep. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, I've read that passage over and over and over again. But then I thought of something that I'd never thought of before. Did you ever see the waves calm immediately? You ever see the waves calm? The wind might have stopped, but the waves. And usually the wind kind of slows down. It doesn't stop all at once. But if it did, even the waves would have continued to roll. But the waves stopped immediately. Jesus said, peace be still, and it was still immediately. It didn't mean that just the storm stopped. It means that even the waves settled down immediately. That's our Savior who wears the crown of dominion. He is supreme. He is the sovereign ruler over all. And then he is the supreme ruler over Satan. Matthew 16:23. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus wears the crown so that he can tell us that we don't have to worry or fret about anything. Jesus is in control of what's going on in our world. Let me tell you, Jesus is in control of what's going on in your world. What's going on in your life tonight? He's in control of it. He's in control of all. He's in control of death. He's in control of nature. He's in control of Satan. He's in control of the demons. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, the disciples said. So we have nothing to worry about. He's in control. He's wearing the crown. You're not wearing the crown. I'm not wearing the crown. It wouldn't do us any good if we were. He wears the crown. He wears the crown of dominion because he is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler over all life, death, nature, your life, my life. He wears the crown of dominion. And the fourth crown, we look to the future when he's going to be crowned the King of Kings. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. I believe some of these crowns that we are talking about tonight, many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to sit upon the throne of the universe, and all of his enemies will admit that he is King of Kings. They will admit that he is Lord. Kings will lay down their crowns and surrender to his rule. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so he wears the crown of thorns, demonstrating his victory over sin. He wears the crown of victory, demonstrating his victory over death. Sin and death. He has already won the victory over those things. That is past tense. Everything in the past, he has the victory over. He has the dominion over. That's this world. The crown of dominion, that's this world. He wears that victory presently. And again, let me just ask you, what's going on in your life? What's going on in your family? What's going on in your work? What's going on in your job? What's going on in our state? What's going on in our nation? He is the supreme ruler over the affairs of men. Crowning him King of Kings, however, that's eternity. That's future. Do you see what the crowns of Jesus means? Jesus has the victory over the past, the present, and the future. So why should I worry? Why should you worry? Why should we fret? Why should we get all worked up? All we need to do is look up. No need to get worked up, just look up. Look up. Look at who's wearing the crown. You see, every area of life, he has already won. He is the supreme ruler of it. He is the supreme ruler of all. So instead of worrying, instead of fretting, it's when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. What I hope that you see through this series of messages on the crowns is simply that Jesus did and is doing, that everything he has done and is doing is for a purpose. And that purpose is you. That purpose is us. He loves us, and He wants us to know that everything is okay. He loves you, and He wants you to know that everything is okay. It's all right. It's all right. Whatever that thing in your life is that is so troublesome, that would cause you to worry, it's all right. Why is it all right? How can I say it's all right? Because He wears the crown. And the crowns of Jesus, though, demand my soul, my life, my all. What are we to do? March on. For Christ, we count everything but loss. The crown of thorns, that crown of victory over death, that crown of dominion, that crown that shows He is King of Kings, shows to us that Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King throughout eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His pierced feet, fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, these wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His burning eye at mysteries so bright. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, enthroned in worlds above. Crown Him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown Him with many crowns as thrones before Him fall. Crown Him, ye kings, with many crowns, for He is King of all. Crown Him the Lord of lords, who over all doth reign, who once on earth the incarnate Word for ransomed sinners slain. Now lives in realms of light where saints with angels sing their songs before Him day and night, their God, Redeemer, King. Crown Him the Lord of years, the potent of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Whatever your need is tonight, He wears the crown. Whatever that need is, bring it to Him tonight, because He wears the crown. He's Lord over it. He's sovereign over all of your life. The crowns of Jesus. The crown of thorns is victory over sin. The crown of victory, victory over death. The crown of dominion means He is supreme ruler of all. Crowning Him King of Kings means that He is Lord for all eternity. Lord, tonight You know where each person is at. Lord, You know the struggles each one has. You know the fears in their lives. You know the things that they are tempted to worry about. I pray, Lord, that they would see You for who You are tonight, the one who wears the crown, the victory over that thing that would cause the fear, the victory over the thing that would cause the worrying. Lord, You are the supreme ruler of all. You are sovereign over our lives. We thank You for this, Lord, and help us to realize our fears, our worries are insignificant compared to Your greatness. We thank You for Your power that is evident in our world and in our lives. Lord, that each one might be comforted to know that You are the supreme ruler over their affairs. Help us tonight to look at the cross and to see Your love. Lord, that we would give You all in return, that we would recognize that You deserve to be King and Lord over every kingdom of our life and of our heart as well. Your great love demands that we give you our soul, our life, our all. Help us to be able to freely give it to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.